fervent, passionate. Such is God's love for us. Such is the nature of zeal. This evening, we will consider the title of Saint Joseph, Zealous Defender of Christ. We will reflect upon the meaning of the title, how it applies to Saint Joseph, and how it applies to us. First, there is the title itself, Zealous Defender of Christ. This can also be translated, Diligent Protector of Christ, or Faithful Guardian of Christ. The word zealous indicates an intensity that is eager, ardent, fervent, and passionate. In a word, wholehearted. Zeal is not necessarily dramatic or vocal. For example, Saint Joseph expressed his zeal in prompt, consistent, and responsible action. The term defender describes someone who drives away danger from another person, whether a threat or an imminent attack. A defender may also maintain or support people, being vigilant to preserve them and keep them safe. Saint Joseph is called Zealous Defender of Christ. He put his whole being into his vocation as husband and father, protector and provider. Like Mary, he knew and lived the scriptural command, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Saint Joseph's zeal sprang from reverential love for God. Scripture records no words of Saint Joseph, so we might have the impression that he was quiet, but he was certainly not timid. The gospel shows him to be prudent, discerning, and courageous. Whenever God manifested his will, Saint Joseph responded with prompt and decisive action. Mary would have noticed and appreciated the zeal of Saint Joseph. Like Mary, Saint Joseph communicated his own wholehearted fiat repeatedly. Pope Francis notes in his recent apostolic letter, Patris Cordae, A Father's Heart, at the end of every account in which Joseph plays a role, the gospel tells us that he gets up, takes the child and his mother, and does what God commanded him. The gospel testifies to his zealous integrity. Saint Joseph demonstrated self-discipline and virtue. He is described as a just man, indicating his right relationship with God and neighbor. He listened to his conscience and to God. He obeyed civil law. Saint Joseph's decisions and actions flowed from the context of his personal integrity. His character was formed in part by his participation in communal prayer and worship. Saint Joseph belonged to a faith community, the Jewish people, and he had the quiet zeal of daily fidelity in his faith life. He obeyed Jewish law, as seen in his visits to the temple. Saint Joseph went to the synagogue every Sabbath and took Jesus along. Years later, Jesus kept this weekly custom during his public ministry. Saint Joseph would have listened every Sabbath to Scripture, and he prayed the same psalms we pray today. When Saint Joseph faced challenges in zealously defending Christ, perhaps he recalled the Scriptures. God commanded Joshua, Moses' successor, "Be firm and steadfast. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God inspired young David with tremendous faith and courage in the face of Goliath and the hostile Philistine army. Like Mary, Saint Joseph must have pondered these things in his heart, drawing strength from them to faithfully guard and diligently protect the Messiah. Saint Joseph was a man of zealous dedication in his vocation. For the good of his family, he responded swiftly and responsibly to unfamiliar circumstances, regardless of the inconvenience or discomfort to himself. Saint Joseph protected Mary and Jesus from being stoned to death when his fiancée Mary was found with child. He traveled with his pregnant wife because of the Roman census. He found alternative lodging when Bethlehem's inn had no room. Saint Joseph took the child and his mother by night to flee to Egypt, and he sustained them in a foreign land indefinitely until God told him to return to Israel. Saint Joseph faced many situations beyond his control with great composure and wholehearted virtue. He zealously put his strength, intelligence, and will at the service of Almighty God, the child Jesus, and his beloved wife Mary. Pope Francis points out, Joseph is certainly not passively resigned, but courageously and firmly proactive. Only the Lord can give us the strength needed to accept life as it is, with all its contradictions, frustrations, and disappointments. 2,000 years ago, God called Saint Joseph to be the zealous defender and protector of Christ. Today, God calls us to be zealous defenders and proclaimers of Christ. Saint Joseph lived and served during Jesus' hidden years, before Jesus became known to the world. We, on the other hand, have a different privilege and responsibility. We have heard the command of the risen Jesus, "Go and make disciples of all nations." As Jesus entered profoundly into the life of Saint Joseph, so he wants to be central in our lives as well. Pope Benedict XVI testifies to the power of Christ's presence in our lives. He says, "Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction." This encounter with Christ is meant to be shared as good news. Pope Francis says, "In your heart, you know that it is not the same to live without him. What you have come to realize, what has helped you to live and given you hope, is what you also need to communicate to others." We are called to preach the gospel in season and out of season, whether convenient or inconvenient. Just as Saint Joseph zealously defended Christ in joy and in suffering, whether convenient or inconvenient. How can we be zealous defenders of Christ today? Christ needs to be defended in many ways. Jesus within us, the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. Jesus in the most holy Eucharist. The name of Jesus Christ. The teachings of Jesus Christ. The objective truth found in natural law. And Jesus dwelling within other people. As we reflect on these, notice what captures your attention. It may be a grace, an invitation to zealously defend Christ. The quality of our life and heart will affect how we approach everything else, so let us consider first how we can defend the life of Christ within us. Subtle threats to this presence might include temptations to selfishness, exposure to biased media, overindulgence in technology use, and materialism which surrounds us. We can zealously defend Christ in our hearts, with Mass and the sacraments, with our efforts at virtue, with healthy relationships, and by doing God's manifest will. St. Paul exhorts all Christians to a proactive vigilance. He says, "My brothers, your thoughts must be wholly directed to all that is true, all that deserves respect, all that is honest, pure, admirable, decent, virtuous, or worthy of praise." With our free will, we either help or hinder the life of Christ within us. Author Matthew Kelly writes, "If we wish to speak effectively to the modern world about God, the Christian life, and Catholicism, we must be thriving, blossoming, and flourishing in that life. As our spiritual father, Saint Joseph wants to help us flourish. Personal holiness is an excellent witness to the truth of God's existence, the power of Christ, and the divine foundation of the Catholic Church. God calls us to zealously defend the Church, which is the mystical body of Christ and our extended family. Our Lord provides us with the Church to form our character and outlook on life, just like he provided Saint Joseph with a Jewish community to form his character and outlook. Threats to the Church, inside or outside, might include division, gossip, scandal, heresy, slander, and persecution. We can protect and build up the mystical body of Christ with charity, forgiveness, mutual respect, prayer, and fasting. Pope Saint John Paul II exhorts us to foster unity within the Catholic Church and also to foster unity with other Christians. God is zealous in his self-emptying love, which reaches incomprehensible depths in the Incarnation and in the Most Holy Eucharist. Pope Francis writes in Patris Cordiae again, "The Son of the Almighty came into our world in a state of great vulnerability. He needed to be defended, protected, cared for, and raised by Saint Joseph. To this very day, Jesus makes himself disarmingly vulnerable and approachable in the Blessed Sacrament. In the Eucharist, our Lord subjects himself to disbelief, indifference, sacrilege, and desecration. We can zealously defend Christ and make reparation, especially by our own faith and conduct. When we go to Mass, what is the quality of our preparation, our clothing, our participation in the liturgy, our thanksgiving after Holy Communion? Some people treat the Eucharist as a piece of bread, but the Eucharist is Jesus, an eternal, infinite, divine person. He comes to us with tremendous hidden love for us and for the whole world. When we receive our Eucharistic Lord with faith, he strengthens in us his own zealous love. Pope Benedict writes about the intrinsic connection between the Eucharist and mission. He says, "The love that we celebrate in the sacrament is not something we can keep to ourselves. By its very nature, it demands to be shared with all. What the world needs is God's love. It needs to encounter Christ and to believe in him. Truly, nothing is more beautiful than to know Christ and to make him known to others. The more ardent the love for the Eucharist in the hearts of the Christian people, the more clearly will they recognize the goal of all mission, to bring Christ to others." So, why not invite people to Mass so they can encounter Jesus themselves? God allows us to call him by name. How greatly we need to zealously defend God's name. The name signifies the person, and God's name is sacred. God's second commandment is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And yet, how often are the names God and Jesus treated carelessly as slang? In conversations, text messages, publications, movies, and songs, God counts on us to zealously defend the name of Christ and the holy name of God. Let us pray God's name with greater reverence in the sign of the cross and the glory be and the Lord's Prayer, the powerful name of Jesus and the divine praises. By the way, the divine praises after benediction were instituted precisely to make reparation for offenses against the Lord's name. We can raise awareness about respecting God's name. Father Mike Schmitz, a university chaplain, discusses boundaries in a YouTube video, and he says, "You will get the behavior you tolerate. It takes courage to be frank with others and to say things like, 'Please respect God's name when I'm talking with you,' and then excuse yourself from the conversation if they don't." Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of God, God's love and eternal life, and how to share in these. He calls upon us to zealously defend and proclaim what he has taught us. Threats to Jesus' teaching include confusion, ignorance, minimalism, and selective acceptance, sometimes called cafeteria Catholicism. We can zealously defend Christ's teachings with the help of personal and liturgical prayer, study, spiritual reading, Catholic CDs and podcasts, and ongoing faith formation programs in our parishes. Pope St. Paul VI writes, "The Church is an evangelizer, but she begins by being evangelized herself. She is the community of believers, the community of brotherly love. She needs to listen unceasingly to what she must believe, if she wishes to retain her freshness, vigor, and strength in order to proclaim the gospel with credibility." The world is often hostile to Christ and the gospel. When Jesus first came into the world, Herod tried to get rid of him. When he grew up, the Romans and leaders of his own people tried to get rid of him. Ever since then, throughout the centuries, different leaders in various nations have shown antagonism toward Jesus Christ and Christians. Today's situation is nothing new. During the childhood of Jesus, St. Joseph responded prudently and zealously in hostile situations. In our own day, St. Joseph's example and intercession can help us wholeheartedly defend and proclaim Christ. Jesus teaches us the truth. In fact, he is the truth in person. At the Last Supper, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God is the author of all truth, and we need to defend objective truth in our confused and searching culture. Threats to truth include ideologies such as atheism and relativism, as well as all kinds of actions against human life and dignity, such as abortion, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, human trafficking, pornography, and gender identity issues. We must not be afraid to defend the truth with charity and clarity. By divine revelation, we know some foundational truths that our society at large does not recognize. For example, God creates human beings in his own image, and therefore every person has inherent human dignity. God creates human beings, either male or female, without confusion, admixture, or mistake. Life begins at conception and continues until God in his wisdom calls a person to himself. These truths lay the foundation for moral standards found in natural law. Every human being deserves to be treated with respect. Jesus identifies himself with the poor and downtrodden, and he expects us to defend him and them. He says, "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me." All people are made in God's image and are therefore worthy of respect, but some are threatened because they are poor, outcast, abused, addicted, imprisoned, unborn, elderly, or ill. We can defend Christ in these persons by exercising the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Jesus is also hidden in our persecutors, and he teaches us to pray for them. Jesus died and rose so that they too might have eternal life. He zealously thirsts for their salvation, and they don't know it, or they have rejected him. They are not the enemy. The enemy is the devil who has deceived them. What are we doing to help them? Our prayers and sacrifices matter. Our charity and our witness matter. Those who persecute Christians or harm their fellow human beings need to hear the gospel, to witness it being lived, and to experience the love of Christ. Pope St. Paul VI writes, I'll quote in full, "The presentation of the gospel message is not an optional contribution for the church. It is the duty incumbent on her by the command of the Lord Jesus, so that people can believe and be saved. This message is indeed necessary. It is unique. It cannot be replaced. It does not permit either indifference, syncretism, or accommodation. It is a question of people's salvation. It is the beauty of the revelation that it represents. It brings with it a wisdom that is not of this world. It is able to stir up faith by itself, faith that rests on the power of God. It is truth. It merits having the apostle consecrate to it all his time and all his energies, and to sacrifice for it, if necessary, his own life." End quote. Pope Francis says that in virtue of their baptism, all the members of the people of God have become missionary disciples. Does that phrase sound familiar? Every Christian is a missionary to the extent that he or she has encountered the love of God in Christ Jesus. He cites examples of St. Andrew, the Samaritan woman at the well, and St. Paul. All of them immediately proclaimed Jesus after a life-changing encounter with him. We don't have to be experts in the faith before sharing Jesus with others. Living for Christ is a dynamic adventure, and we will be unpacking the riches of Christ for all eternity. We can scatter seeds in the form of hospitality, prayer, conversation, service, and sharing things like books, CDs, and websites about the faith. We never know when those seeds will sprout in people's lives. So, God calls us to evangelize right where we are. Now, I have a little show and tell. I bet you've seen these holy cards at your parish. Yes? No? Bishop Kemi's pastoral plan for the Diocese of Wichita. The vision is, all God's children will respond to Christ's call so as to become fully alive as missionary disciples. And the mission? Go forth faithfully to preach the gospel to all God's children and to evangelize today's culture. Sounds like the end of Mass, right? Go forth glorifying the Lord by your life. Well, St. Joseph had his marching orders and we have ours. Where do we start? Let's take that question to our Lord in Holy Hour and ask Mary and St. Joseph to intercede for us. With St. Joseph at our side, let us set out to be zealous defenders of Christ. Let us be eager, ardent, fervent, and passionate. For the sake of God and our neighbor, let us be wholehearted and always motivated by love. Saint Joseph, zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Amen. So then we have a little bit of social time down the hall, and then we'll come back here for Holy Hour and confession.